She went pause, what's number 11, Canto, chapter 1, the curse upon the Yadu dynasty, text 17. Tachchuta teti santrasta. Vimuchya sahasodaram. Sambasya jajishistasmin. Mushalam kalvayasmayam. But that Shutra, having heard, they, Atisantrasta, extremely afraid, Vimuchya, uncovering, Sahasa, hastily, Udanam, the belly, Sambasya, of Samba, Dadrishu, they saw, Tasmin, within it, Mushalam, a club. Kalu, indeed. Ayakmayam, made of iron. Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba. And indeed, they observed that therein was an iron club. Purport. Upon hearing the words of the Vaishnavas, headed by Narada, the Yadu boys lifted the garment covering Samba's abdomen and saw the fruit of the offense they had committed against Vaishnavas by their deceit. An actual club was there to destroy their dynasty. This example shows that in a polluted society, the club of duplicity can never bring the peace found in the society of devotees. Rather, such duplicity smashes all the non-devotional activities and whimsical doctrines of the pseudo-devotees. The Yadu boys were wary about jeopardizing their advanced position, and indeed had been thinking that as long as they kept their trickery concealed, others would never be able to detect such sophisticated cheating. Nonetheless, they were unable to protect their family from the reaction of their grievous offense against the devotees of the Lord. Om Agyanatimarandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhudhitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The destruction of the Yadu dynasty, brought about by dangerously foolish play by the Yadu Kumars, the boys of the Yadu dynasty. They thought that they were very clever and sophisticated in their duplicity, because they were aware, you know, they had training, they had family tradition that you don't openly mock the sages. So they thought of a clever way how to do it, in which they would protect their advanced position in their families, while at the same time, you know, having a go at the sadhus. So, yes, we'll have them on a bit. But we'll protect ourselves. They thought that the sages would never be able to detect such sophisticated trickery. They thought they'd get away with this joke. The sages would just see this girl who appeared pregnant. They would ask the sages, is she going to have a girl or a boy? The sages would give some pronouncement, and then the boys would say, just see. What kind of sages are these? We tricked them. This is what foolish boys will do. This is what foolish people will do. Externally, we'll present ourselves as very humble and submissive, but internally, just see this trick we're going to play. They didn't know they were playing with fire. Whether you're a child or an adult, if you get too close to the fire, you get burnt. And now they are realizing, we got burnt seriously. The sages cursed them, as you heard yesterday. Fools! She will bear you an iron club that will destroy your entire dynasty. Just think, suppose you were fooling around as a little kid, and you did something that you thought was a very cool trick. And then the reaction was, someone said, for this your whole family will be destroyed. Be terrified. This is what happened. Krishna is known as Asura Kula Nashana. You sing Yasomati Nandana Brajabha Nagata. Asura Kula Nashana. He's the destroyer of the dynasties of the demons. But now we see the sages have said Mushalam Kula Nashanam. The club will destroy your dynasty, the Yadu dynasty. The boys were terrified. Their cool, sophisticated inside joke had caused a nuclear blast. When you're young, you do so many things which you think are full of meaning and they're so important, and later you realize they're disastrous. And you're terrified by the consequences. I remember when I was a little boy, I think about 8 years old, my cousin and my brother, my younger brother, about 6 years old, we were playing, and we went to where the railroad tracks were, and where there were freight cars parked on the railroad tracks, not the main tracks, but the side tracks, where some freight cars were parked. And we started playing on the cars. We thought, oh, this is great fun, you know, climbing up and down on the freight cars. And, you know, it wasn't the main railroad line, so there's not the trains were coming on that same track. It was off on the side track, where freight cars aren't used so much or kept. So we were having such a good time. We thought, this is great, you know. Then all of a sudden, it looked to us like a police car. It drove up. And this big husky guy came out. Stop, criminals! Stop! Stop in your tracks! Oh, God. What have we done? We were just terrified. You have committed a great crime. You all are playing in this private property, the railroad yard. I am a railroad policeman. Do they have those in Australia, special railroad cops? Yeah. Anyway, he was a special breed. We didn't know. We just thought a cop is a cop, you know. He was so big and ferocious. Now you'll be criminally charged. What are your names? He gave him our names. What is your address? Phone number? I'm filling out. In the States, they call it a JD form, juvenile delinquent form. And all the parents of respectable families always tell their kids, never get in trouble with the police. You'll get a JD form. It'll be on your record all your life. You'll never get a good job. You'll never get a good education. So this is what we're thinking. Oh, no, he's filling out a JD form. Our lives are ruined. We're just eight-year-old guys. And, oh, no, we'll never get... I remember saying, we'll never get jobs. We're finished. So the railroad cut went on and on. You have committed a great crime. Your names will be reported. You have now a criminal record. Like, oh, we were crying. He said, go home and inform your parents that you have a criminal record. Oh, go tell our parents you have a criminal record. Oh, no. That was even worse. But, you know, we were good boys, my brother, my cousin, and... So we went home and we dutifully told, you know, the parents, we are criminals. We have a JD form. We're juvenile delinquents. We're so sorry. We didn't mean it. We didn't mean it. We didn't know. We're just playing in the railroad cars. Now we're criminals. We have brought shame upon the family. We'll never get jobs. It was 9-year-old, 8-year-old, and 6-year-old carrying on like this. Oh, we'll never get jobs. This is how well our family had trained us, you know. So my father, he was an administrator in the police department. So he actually played right along with it. So you were playing on the railroad cars, huh? So he went on, he said, we've told you not to go to that place. We've told you not to play there. And then he said, what did this railroad police tell you? And we told him how he said that we have juvenile delinquents, we have a criminal record, our lives are ruined. So my father started getting very angry, like, this is way over the top. Who is this railroad cop to be intimidating, terrorizing these young children like this? So immediately he jumped in his car to go find the cop to give him a chastisement, like, what are you doing here? But still, we got punished. We had a huge punishment. What was that huge punishment for a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old? Guess what? What's the huge punishment that's like an earthquake? You have to stay inside the house for 2 days. The end of the world! We can't go outside for 2 days! Oh. What could be more horrible? This is abuse! This is torture! All we could do is stay inside and watch television. They didn't say no TV, because I just couldn't go outside. So for 2 whole days, we had to stay inside and watch television. Which for me was torture, because I like to go outside, play sports, play baseball, like that. We had to stay inside for 2 whole days. So, young children can do things like that. They can do things that are foolish, and then they're terrified at the consequences. Completely terrified. My mother, she had her own ways of making her point about, proper behavior. She would, point out in the neighborhood, see that 16-year-old girl there? She's pregnant out of marriage. Now she'll have to marry the boy, even though he's only 17. Think about that. Because that was the standard back in the 50s. If a girl got pregnant outside of marriage, they had to marry. Never mind whether they liked each other, this, that, family, nothing. That was the standard. There's no such thing as single mothers. So my mother would just point out. There weren't that many of them also. 2 blocks away. One girl, she has become pregnant at 16 years old. Now she has to marry at 16. She cannot get an education. The boy has to marry her at 17. He can't get an education. He has to work. Remember this. And then she would line up all her sons and say, let me tell you, if you ever, ever, ever do such a thing, I'm not giving any money, do you understand? No money! So, when you're young, you do things which you think are so special and so much fun, and the adults don't understand, right? Didn't you wonder when you were a kid, how come the adults don't play? Why don't the adults play with dolls and trucks and bicycles? They're missing out on so much fun. Of course, as you get older, you realize the adults have their own toys. And anyway, the reaction is coming. Terror. Kula Nashana, the destruction of the whole Yadu dynasty. The most powerful people in the world are going to be destroyed, apparently simply because of the foolish behavior of some boys. They had abused these sages, but they thought they were just playing. They thought they were cool. They thought they were clever. This is the nature of material existence. You think you're doing one thing, and you get another reaction. Of course, life in the material world means abuse. We abused Krishna, and we come to the material world, which is synonymous with abuse. That's the nature of material life. This one's abusing that one, that one's abusing this one. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said there are only two classes of people in this world. It's not rich or poor, or Aussies and immigrants. There's only two classes of people in this world. The cheaters and the cheated. The abused and the abusers. And they switch. At one moment, you're cheating someone. Next minute, someone is cheating you. One moment, you're abusing someone. Next minute, they're abusing you. This is the story of material life. And here you see such problems happening even in the Yadu dynasty. This is the shocking thing about Moksha Lila. The Yadus, Krishna's personal associates. They're from the spiritual world, or else they're demigods. How can such a thing happen? And now the terrifying result. The club that will destroy the whole dynasty. Any kind of abuse will destroy the society of devotees. Any kind of exploitation, any kind of mistreatment of devotees will destroy the society of devotees. Therefore, the Yadu Kumaras, knowing this, knowing now the reaction, they're terrified. In the next verse you hear, Kim kritam mandabhagyarna kim vajishyanti no jana iti vitvalita yehan adaya mushalam yayu. The young men of the Yadu dynasty said, oh, what have we done? We are so unfortunate. What will our family members say to us? Speaking like this and being very disturbed, they returned to their homes, taking the club with them. So, they told King Urusena in the presence of all the senior members of the Yadu dynasty. They told him what had happened. Shukadeva Goswami describes that their faces, the luster of their faces had completely faded. They brought the club into the royal assembly. What's the name of the assembly hall of the Yadus? Sudharma. They brought that into the Sudharma assembly hall, the club, and they explained everything to King Ugrasena. They didn't say anything to Krishna. Why? They were so shameful. They were so afraid and full of shame. They couldn't approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dwarkanath, Krishna. When all the Yadus, the Dwarkavasis, heard of the Brahmana's curse, Viprasapa, the curse of the Brahmanas, they knew that the curse of the Brahmanas is amoga, infallible. They understood. Everyone understood. Even the boys understood. We play with fire, and now we've set off a nuclear bomb. So the Dwarkavasis, they heard about the Brahmashapa. They heard about, they saw the club. They didn't have to even see. They saw the proof. They saw the club. So they were astonished. What? A chain reaction of events. And of course, they were overwhelmed with fear. So next you'll hear tomorrow about King Ugrasena's reaction, how he's thinks he's going to strategically deal with the situation. He doesn't know that the plan of the Lord, as time, is unstoppable. What we want to remember from this incident is devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is very serious. We can't afford to play around, although bhakti is very joyful. These two things seem contradictory. We can't afford to play around, but yet bhakti is full of joy. A Vaishnav is jolly. That means the Vaishnav is jolly by being careful. From the material point of view, you can't understand this. Someone who's very careful, someone who's very discriminating, how can they be joyful, right? Joy means just, whatever. Let the good times roll, however you feel. Let's have a good time. Let's make fun of someone. Let's cause a ruckus. That seems to be the way to be jolly. Let's have one on, everyone. In the spiritual sense, though, it is completely 100% possible to be careful and jolly. Sometimes our own devotees don't understand that as you advance in spiritual life, you become both more jolly and more careful. This can't be understood on a material platform. You're more jolly because you're carefully following the process of sadhana bhakti, and the natural spiritual qualities of the soul are starting to reveal themselves more and more. So by carefully following the sadhana, the natural satchidananda existence of the spirit soul starts to reveal itself. So we're not afraid to be careful. We know what care and bhakti will produce. At the same time, we don't extremely follow devotional practices in such a way that we have some material goal in mind. I want to show everyone how I'm a great devotee. I want to show myself I can do it. No, we follow the devotional practices carefully in order to please our spiritual master and please Krishna. This is personalism. You're doing something to please someone else. That's the price you pay for having relationships. Otherwise, better to merge into Brahman. You don't have to worry about paying any price for personal relationships. It's like I was speaking to one devotee here a few days ago, and he was explaining about some situation at home. So I said, don't you know the price you have to pay for associating with your spouse? The price you have to pay is that whatever you say that's wrong is remembered for 20 years. And it's brought out and put in front of your face at the most uncomfortable times. Remember 15 years ago, you did such and such. You said such and such. But whatever he says, whatever she says, it's not important. Don't remember it. There's always an excuse for it. Whatever she says, it can be the most horrible words. Why are you paying so much attention to it? But whatever he says, recorded in history eternally. So, you talk to any experienced grihastha man, he'll tell you, he's learned to bite his tongue. Otherwise, nuclear warfare breaks out. You just have to just bite your tongue, literally. Not say anything, because whatever you say will be held against you for many yugas. And whatever she says, you shouldn't be offended. Why are you taking it so seriously? That was just something, she'll say, that's just something I said yesterday, what's the big deal? I was in a different mood then. You're supposed to understand completely. And you can't say anything. Yes, I understand. It makes perfect sense. So that is the price you have to pay for the relationship. You wanted it, you pay the price. Every personal relationship has a price to pay. That's part of personalism. So what's the price that we pay in seeking to revive a relationship with Krishna? The price we pay is to be very conscientious about devotional practices. It's not that we're doing it to show our prowess. It's not that we're doing it to show how great we are. We are doing it to please Krishna. That is the point. And when you have that mentality, it's completely possible to be careful and jolly at the same time. Please understand this point. Because I think that sometimes devotees are a little bit afraid. If I become too careful, then I'll lose my happiness. I'll become dry and rigid, cold. Now, if you perform devotional practices for the pleasure of Krishna, then your heart will always be awash, overflooded with the bhakti rasa. But if your motives aren't right, I'm doing these devotional practices to show that I'm the greatest devotee. I'm doing these devotional practices to show myself I can do it. Of course, by those motives, you'll make some spiritual advancement because, you know, somehow or other, if you perform sadhana bhakti, there will be purification. But you'll get to a point when you have to give up those mentalities. And if you're too attached to those mentalities, your spiritual advancement will be disturbed. Best to have the motive of performing sadhana bhakti to please Guru and please Krishna. Then you'll be able to be careful and joyful at the same time. So please understand this point. The Yadukumaras were not careful. They thought that they, in fact, not only were they not careful, but they weren't humble. They thought, we're going to have one on the sages. We're going to get the sages to say that it's going to be a girl, it's going to be a boy, and it's just Samba in disguise. You know, they're sages. What do they know about the real world? What do they know about, you know, such affairs? We'll expose their lack of knowledge of the practical world. You hear that sometimes, you know, as we discussed 2 days ago. Sometimes it is said, you know, devotees, they don't know the real world. Now, devotees have complete knowledge of the real world because they're understanding the supreme complete Krishna. There's something about the illusory energy that confers a sense of importance upon its victims. You're suffering, you're being smashed by the material energy, you're being crushed by the wheel of time, and you're so important and so significant. It's amazing, isn't it? You are special as you're being chewed up and spit out. You are so special. How can you understand the power of the illusory energy? Krishna himself says, Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya draya. This material energy of mine is impossible to overcome unless you do things my way. Mama eva ye prapajante maya metam tarantide. That's personalism. Unless you surrender to me. Sometimes devotees, they get afraid of that word, surrender. It sounds like, you know, some criminals are doing something and the police drive up, you know, pull out the gun, surrender, surrender. Or in a war, when soldiers are captured by the other side, you wave the white flag, I surrender, I surrender. But sometimes we become afraid of that word, surrender. We forget what it really means. Isn't so? Some of you, I know, have become intimidated by the word surrender. In the early days of ISKCON, whenever you wanted someone to do something, you wanted a devotee to do something, surrender, Prabhu. Surrender to Krishna, Prabhu. Remember that, Krishna? They drag that word out all the time. Prabhu, you're not surrendered. Surrender, Prabhu. Do you remember that, Uddhava? Was that in your time also?
My mother probably
was. Yeah. The word's out of style now. That's where we wonder why it's there in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, but remember that at Chintarupa? You know, that was the way. You're not surrendered, Mataji. Surrender. I remember as a Sankirtan devotee, we did Sankirtan book distribution 7 days a week. And so Sunday would come along, the time of the Sunday feast. And back then, you know what a Sunday feast meant at a Hare Krishna temple? No one here was around at that time. It meant 13 preparations. 13. The cooks would start on Saturday. And they had such pride in preparing the Sunday feast. They would be in the kitchen all night. It was like the high point of the week, the Sunday feast. 13 preparations. Every week was sweet rice without fail. Every week was a different type of halava, just floating in butter with pineapple in it or strawberries. And so many kinds of sabjis, kheer. Not just sweet rice, but kheer. And a nectar drink, too. Each person had 3 cups in front of them. So, I remember the Sankirtan leader saying to us, "All right, it's Sunday morning. As usual, we're all going out on Sankirtan, right? Who is not surrendered here? Who wants to stay back for the Sunday feast?" "I'm surrendered. Yeah, I don't want to be known as not surrendered. Yeah, we're going out. You're afraid, you know. We didn't want to say we were, you know, that we, you know, we'd like to stay for the Sunday feast. You know, 13 preparations. You know, but you know, who's not surrendered? Who's in Maya? Who wants to stay back for the Sunday feast?" These are the youthful days of the Hare Krishna movement, when Prabhupada was the only adult in the whole Krishna conscious movement. So, that club was wielded upon you. You're not surrendered. Surrender, just surrender. So we've forgotten what surrender means, because maybe it's been abused, the word's been abused and misused. So we surrender, when Krishna uses it in Bhagavad Gita, means do things my way, be a personalist. When you look at it in that way, you can see in this world you have to be surrendered in so many ways. Just like you're speaking, the man has to surrender. He has to bite his tongue, you know, and not say something because it'll be repeated back to him for ages, yugas, by his wife. That's surrender. Personalism means you act in appropriate ways to enhance the relationship. So that's what Krishna means when he says surrender. Act in a way that's going to enhance our relationship. Now you like that better, don't you? Simply, you have to understand what surrender means and not become put off by abuses of the term. All right, devotees may have abused the term and misappropriated it, but still, Krishna means what Krishna means. That's the perfect meaning. Surrender means do things my way. Let's act in a way that will enhance our relationship. Sarva dharmam prachaja. Just abandon all speculations of what you think is dharma and act in a way that's enhancing to the link between us. So please remember it in that way. Let us not have a phobia, an unconscious phobia about the process of bhakti. And let us not have a fear to be careful. Being careful and being jolly completely go together in bhakti. And let us remember how by being foolish, by being tricky, we can put ourselves in a lot of trouble in our Krishna consciousness. By Krishna's will, Narada Muni has responded in this way, because Krishna wants Narada Muni and the sages to show the proper reaction when sages, Vaishnavas, are being ridiculed and made fun of. So it's not that Narada Muni is unduly angry. He's acting in the way that Krishna wants him to act. All right, we've covered quite a few topics today. We'll stop and ask if you have any questions. Yes?
Maharaj, if we do commit any offenses to others, other Vaishnavas or even spiritual aspects, knowingly or unknowingly, sometimes you may be grossly or subtly. How do you rectify that, and what is the solution there?
You make a mistake, you ask for forgiveness. Someone was telling the story on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day, how Prabhupada was in Indonesia, and this is his first visit to Indonesia. Maybe it was his last. I don't know. How many times did Srila Prabhupada go to Indonesia? Once or more? In any case, the devotee there, who was arranging the program, forgot to advertise the program. So here's Srila Prabhupada, the world acharya, going out of his way to go to such a place as Indonesia. And the devotees naturally knew for months ahead that he was coming. They were all making ecstatic preparations. But somehow, my godbrother Amoga, Australian devotee, he forgot to advertise the program. So Prabhupada showed up at the program and there were just like four people there. So as they were driving back to where Prabhupada stayed in the car, Amoga was practically devastated. He was practically in tears. You could imagine how you would feel. He's in the front seat, Prabhupada's in the back seat. So he's just on the point of just complete despair. He had made such a mistake, blown it so badly. And so in his mind, he just started crying and just saying the Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasudevaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Swami. He was just saying it over and over again in his mind, just devastated in the front seat. And then in the middle of that, from the back seat, Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, once you make obeisances, everything is forgiven." He was more happy to be forgiven by Prabhupada than to realize that Prabhupada knows his mind, knows his consciousness. The main thing he was thinking, "Oh, I'm forgiven." So you can remember that once you make obeisances, everything is forgiven. But don't do it again. Anything else? Yes.
Yes, Swami. How to know that we are really advancing spiritually? Any yardsticks to guide us?
That's why we have a spiritual master who can point out to us where our mistakes are and how we can improve. One should never think he or she is beyond taking advice. Lord Chaitanya himself demonstrates that. Guru More Murka Deti Kalilo Shiva. My spiritual master said, I'm a fool. I should just chant Hare Krishna. This is Lord Chaitanya showing you how to be a bhakta. Not that, I've been chanting and following Krishna consciousness for quite a few years now. Who is the guru to tell me I'm a fool? No, Lord Chaitanya was quite proud to say this. My spiritual master said, I'm a fool, I should just chant Hare Krishna. So I did. And then he went on to explain. I had all these symptoms. And so what did he do when he had these symptoms? By following the order of his guru, he had these ecstatic symptoms. He went and presented the situation to his spiritual master. And his spiritual master replied, you are achieving the results of proper chanting of Hare Krishna. I'm very happy. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrating how to be a devotee. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that a devotee never thinks he's beyond asking advice, taking counsel, as demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya. A devotee never thinks that, I don't need advice, I don't need any counsel. Everyone's motivated anyway. They just want me to surrender. When you have that negative connotation of the word surrender, just substitute the words, they just want that I enhance my relationship with Krishna. Hopefully that's so. It is true that sometimes you'll meet with situations which shouldn't be. The Krishna Conscious Movement is a hospital full of all kinds of patients. Some follow the doctor's orders, some don't. Some follow half the time and don't follow half the time. That's the way any hospital is. Just be glad there's a hospital. Don't blame the patients on the hospital if the medical staff is constantly trying to keep the place sterilized. That's what you want to see. You want to see that there are efforts made to constantly keep the place free of germs. If that's there, then okay, it's obvious that there's going to be some patients who are going to cause some problems. You don't say, shut down the hospital, shut down the hospital, here's a patient who didn't follow the doctor's orders. It's like when I remember I was a little boy, my mother, she didn't work. She took care of her kids, which would be impossible now for a middle-class family these days. But sometimes, because she was a special kind of nurse that she could work whenever she wanted for wealthy people, a wealthy person would say, I need a specialist, high-ranking nurse, not an ordinary nurse. So then she would go in for the night, maybe once a week or something. So I remember I was a little boy, 8 years old, she came back and told me, oh, those doctors, oh, I'm so disgusted. What they do is they go into the, you know, where the pure alcohol is stored, because doctors have access to all those things, pure alcohol, and then they just bring in some grape juice and they mix it together, and right in the hospital, you know, they're just getting intoxicated, they're getting drunk. And she said, once, you know, they tricked me. You know, they handed me, they said, here, have some grape juice. Knowing that she was very religious, and it turned out, you know, it was 50% pure alcohol. They were just laughing. My mother, she was just very disgusted. I was just a little boy wondering, the hospital sounds like a bad place. But does anyone say, shut down the hospital? Doctors are mixing grape juice with alcohol, misusing their status as doctors, having access to pure alcohol. No, you say these doctors are wrong and they should be corrected, but the business of the hospital has to go on. So similarly, in our Krishna conscious society, there are problems. Krishna himself doesn't sweep things under the rug and say no problems. What does he say at the beginning of the fourth chapter? Who knows the verse? Imam. Next one. Yes? Go on. Rajasaya Vidu. Sakalina Mahata Yoga Nashta Prantapa. What do those last two lines mean? Huh? Yes, in the course of time, the knowledge becomes lost. Krishna is not covering up. He's admitting there are problems because of the material world. Even Krishna's own words about himself become distorted. Just see how honest Krishna is. Now, when you read that, do you think, okay, then stop the process of bhakti. Stop any efforts to be Krishna conscious, because sometimes Krishna's message becomes lost. No, you don't say like that. You say, and what does Krishna give as a solution? He comes to rebalance things, to restabilize things. So Krishna is quite honest and open. There are problems because this is the material world. But none of you, when you read Bhagavad Gita, say, oh, Krishna's admitting. Ooh, Krishna's admitting their problems. Ooh, shut down Bhagavad Gita. Shut down bhakti. No one says that. You just say, well, let's see. How is Krishna fixing the situation? Krishna says, I come again and again to stabilize things. So that's the mature understanding of the material world. As devotees, we shouldn't be materially utopian. meaning we expect that every devotee around us is going to be on proper behavior and never exploit, never abuse, never mistreat. No, the Krishna consciousness movement is open to all kinds of persons. So this, sometimes there are problems. Srila Prabhupada himself said, we are not utopians. We are practical. We understand. We're dealing with conditioned souls. I know for myself, as a young devotee, it took me a long time to come to the grips with this point. Why is this one doing like this? Why is that one doing like that? Why is this happening? Because when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I just thought, automatically everyone is, you know, everyone is perfect and pure automatically because they came to Krishna consciousness. When we were new devotees in 72, 73, the first thing you were told when you came to stay in the ashram was, in 7 years, you'll have a body made of Mahaprasad. Wow! Body made of Maha! And in 11 years, your memory will be perfect. You'll remember everything you've heard. Wow! This is what we were told. So, after a while, you know, we looked around and, you know, well, you've been here for 7 years, Prabhu? Your body, is it made of Maha? There was no one around then for 11 years, so 7 years was the maximum. And this is a New York temple, so there were many devotees from the Second Avenue. So you could see, you started in 66, now it's 73. How is your body? So, I thought like that every devotee is pure, they're always going to be pure. As soon as you get your spiritual name, that's it. And then it takes a while for devotees to understand the practical reality. And Srila Prabhupada was the best at being practical. We are not utopians. We realize we're dealing with conditioned souls. Krishna himself acknowledges that reality. He says his own message, the purport of Bhagavad Gita, can become lost. Sakkalenaha mahata, as time passes. It's not that the verses become lost, the true purport becomes lost. And so Krishna comes to rectify things. This is the way the material world is. This is the way things happen when you're teaching Krishna consciousness in the impure material world. It's a constant effort to keep the hospital clear of germs. So what you should do is watch and see, is there an effort being made to keep the germs out? Not that, oh, there's a germ, shut the hospital down. Are efforts being made to keep the place sterile? Because there'll always be some outbreak. There'll always be some patients who misbehave. There'll always be some germs running around. That's the nature of a hospital. Why do people go to a hospital? Because they have diseases. Therefore, the hospital has to deal with disease in such a way that the germs don't get out of hand. So please remember this. We're not utopians. We are very practical. So don't let material utopianism ruin your devotional endeavor. Get all grouchy and fault-finding and little devotees. No, don't let that happen. Be practical. Don't be dreamy-eyed, but be practical about the nature of practicing spiritual life within the material world. Yes. All you can do is your best. That's all you can do. prayed to Krishna that one day this devotee's heart will soften. The service to Krishna has to go on. Krishna knows in your heart, he's there. He knows if you're sincere about feeling sad that there's some misunderstanding. In the material world, they say, life goes on. Of course, we're not impressed by the quality of that life. In devotional service, the world of bhakti, we say, the service goes on. Don't say that while being callous to devotees and while mistreating devotees, but if you have made a full attempt to clarify things, to ask for forgiveness, then you can say that, well, the service has to go on. This is personalism. Just like that word surrender can be misused, similarly that expression, the service has to go on, it can also be misused. Why are you worried, Prabhu, about your feelings? The service has to go on. A part of devotional service is taking care of devotees and being sensitive to their feelings. It takes intelligence to practice bhakti. Any other questions? Yes.
Generally, well, I guess myself, have a tendency of criticizing others or not respecting devotees or sadhus as much as I could. How can that tendency be rectified?
You set the example, we'll all follow. Example is worth thousands of words. It may take some time for your example to be noted. But anyway, Krishna is watching. So please remember this incident with enormous impact. The Yadukumaras toying with the greatest sages headed by Narada Muni. Now the Yadukumaras are terrified. All the Dwarkavasis know destruction is imminent. What are we going to do? They didn't consult Krishna. This is all going on by the will of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.